You're 10 miles out, descending through 3000, and the controller comes back garbled, broken. You read back what you think you heard, ask for confirmation, and there's a pause before they repeat the clearance. Most of the time, it's not your radio, it's not your headset. It's the infrastructure sitting between you and that controller. Equipment that in some of our busiest facilities dates back to original installations made during the Reagan administration. I'm Tower. This is ATEEZ on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking about the plumbing behind the frequency. A new manufacturing facility in Maryland is being brought online to produce digital voice switches for the FAA's Air Traffic Control Modernization Program. The reporting comes from AVWeb. The plant will manufacture hardware designed to replace the analog voice switching systems that have been routing ATC communications across this country for decades. It doesn't make for a flashy headline, but for anyone who spends time on the frequency, the implications are worth understanding. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now let's start with the fundamentals. What is a voice switch and why does it matter? When you push the push to talk and transmit to a controller, that audio doesn't go directly from your aircraft to the controller's ear, it goes through a system. Your transmission arrives at a ground receiver, sometimes one of several receivers covering the same piece of airspace from different angles. The audio is routed to the ATC facility through dedicated landline or microwave links. Inside the facility, it passes through a voice communication switching system. The FAA uses the abbreviation VCSS that routes it to the correct controller position. The controller hears you, responds, and that transmission runs the same chain in reverse, from the controller's headset through the switch, out to a transmitter across the airspace to your aircraft. The switch is the router at the center of all of it. It decides which transmitters are associated with which sectors. It handles handoffs between controller positions. It maintains separate audio channels for guard frequency monitoring. In a large en route center with dozens of active positions, the switching system is handling hundreds of audio paths simultaneously, coordinating sector handoffs, military coordination lines, supervisory override functions, and inter-facility communications all at once. The systems doing this work across much of the FAA's facility network were designed in an analog era. The baseline architecture was specified and installed beginning in the 1980s. Many facilities have been running variants of the same core hardware, patched, upgraded at the module level, and kept alive through maintenance contracts for 30 to 40 years. That is not unusual in aviation infrastructure. The FAA's en route centers have radar systems with lineage stretching back even further. What has changed is the environment those systems now have to operate in, and the gap between what the legacy voice infrastructure was designed to do and what the modern ATC environment demands has been growing for a long time. The FAA's ATC automation environment has been fundamentally transformed over the past two decades. The standard terminal automation replacement system, known as STARS, modernized TRACON, terminal radar approach control, workstations across the country, en route automation, modernization, or ERAM, replaced the host computer system that had run en route centers since the 1970s. Performance-based navigation, automatic dependent surveillance broadcast, or ADS-B, and data communications, sometimes called CPDLC for controller pilot data link communications, have all been deployed to varying degrees across the national airspace. The voice switching infrastructure largely did not come along for that ride. It was retrofitted at the margins, integrated where necessary and left in place where replacement was too expensive or too complex to justify in a given budget cycle. The result is a national airspace system where the data infrastructure is modern and the voice infrastructure is not. That asymmetry has real operational consequences. Here's what that looks like from the controller side. At a facility running digital STARS workstations alongside a legacy analog voice switch, the controller sees a rich data picture on a modern display. Track data, flight plan information, conflict alerting, but the voice system handling their radio doesn't communicate with any of it. Coordination that could happen automatically in an integrated system requires the controller to do it manually. That's additional cognitive load in an environment where managing cognitive load is a safety critical concern. From the pilot side, the limitations show up as audio quality, analog switching systems introduce noise over long-haul routing chains, signal degradation accumulates across ground links, and analog compression used to fit audio through narrow-band circuits can make some transmissions noticeably muddier than others. If you've flown routes that take you through different on-route center airspace and notice that some centers sound cleaner on the frequency than others, part of that difference is the age and design of the switching infrastructure behind it. There's also the redundancy picture. Modern digital switching systems can be designed with multiple independent failure paths. If one routing module fails, traffic shifts to another in milliseconds without perceptible interruption. Analog systems of a certain vintage can have single points of failure that require sector consolidation while maintenance responds. The system handles it. There are multiple layers of fallback, but digital architecture is more resilient by design from the ground up. The transition the FAA is working toward involves replacing the legacy VCSS hardware with systems built around digital voice over internet protocol switching. VoIP sounds like something from a corporate phone system, and the underlying protocols are in fact related. But the application built on top of those protocols for ATC use is purpose-built for aviation. Latency requirements are strict, audio delay measured in tens of milliseconds. Reliability standards specify continuous operation through power anomalies and equipment failures that would take a commercial telecommunications sleep. And nationwide is the right scale to keep in mind. The FAA operates more than 300 ATC facilities across the national airspace system, including 21 en route centers, more than 100 TRACANs, and hundreds of airport traffic control towers. Not every facility requires the same scale of switching infrastructure, but the combined deployment is an enormous manufacturing and integration effort. Standing up a dedicated facility in the United States to produce this equipment is a direct response to that supply chain requirement. There is also the certification dimension. Equipment handling ATC communications has to meet FAA technical specifications that are distinct from commercial electronic standards. Environmental hardening requirements cover temperature, vibration, and humidity. Electromagnetic compatibility standards are appropriate for facilities coexisting with active radio frequency environments. Power supply redundancy specifications exceed anything required in commercial settings. A manufacturing facility producing this equipment to FAA specification is not a general-purpose contract electronic shop. The Maryland plant represents a specialized industrial capability that the program specifically requires. The security dimension is worth mentioning here as well. Moving ATC voice communications to an internet protocol architecture raises questions that were simply not relevant to analog switching. Digital networks introduce potential exposure that physical analog hardware does not have. The FAA, along with defense and intelligence stakeholders, has spent years working through what secure VoIP for ATC means in practice: network segmentation, encryption standards, air gapping where appropriate. The specifications for ATC-grade VoIP systems reflect that work. This is not running voice calls over a consumer broadband connection. The security architecture is built in from the specification stage. Now let's put this in broader context, because this is not a new initiative and the history matters. The FAA has been working toward ATC modernization in one form or another for more than four decades. The Advanced Automation System program began in the late 1970s with an ambition to replace essentially everything in the en route ATC environment. Simultaneously, by the early 1990s, the program had consumed billions of dollars and missed nearly every major milestone. The Government Accountability Office, the independent federal oversight body, described it as one of the most expensive automated system development failures in government history. The program was restructured, pieces were salvaged, and the current baseline en route infrastructure emerged from what remained. That history left lasting caution at the FAA and in Congress. Large-scale technology programs in ATC now proceed in more contained phases, with independent oversight, and with a skepticism toward ambitious timelines that is probably warranted given the track record. NextGen, authorized by Congress in 2007, has delivered some of its headline capabilities. ADS-B out equipage is essentially universal in the instrument flight rules fleet. Performance-based navigation procedures have expanded at airports across the country. Datacom is operational at most major en route centers. These are real improvements that affect the daily experience of IFR pilots in the national airspace. Voice switching modernization has been the longer road within that program. Multiple acquisition cycles, program restructures, and funding fluctuations have stretched the timeline significantly past original projections. The news that a manufacturing facility dedicated to this program is operational in Maryland is meaningful precisely because of that history. It means the program has moved past contract negotiation and into the phase where hardware is being built and deliveries are happening. For the pilot listening right now, the near-term impact is probably not something you will notice in the cockpit. These transitions happen, facility by facility, sector by sector, over years. They are designed to be operationally transparent. You do not pick up a center frequency one morning and hear a different sounding controller because a new switch came online overnight. But the medium and long-term implications are worth tracking. Communications reliability at cruise altitude, particularly in high-density sectors and areas with challenging terrain and marginal transmitter coverage, is directly connected to the quality and architecture of the voice switching infrastructure. Audio clarity, redundancy, and the integration of voice with data systems all improve as legacy hardware comes out. There are capabilities ahead that depend on this transition as a foundation. Voice recording and replay quality improves dramatically with digital infrastructure, both for accident investigation and for controller training and review. The possibility of integrating voice recognition tools into the ATC environment, automatically transcribing controller pilot communications and cross-referencing them with traffic data, requires digital switching as a prerequisite. That capability is not widely deployed today, but the architecture decisions being made right now will determine whether it becomes achievable in the next decade. Digital voice infrastructure also enables what the industry calls remote tower operations. Several countries in Europe, including Sweden and Norway, have operational remote tower facilities where controllers manage airport traffic from a location miles from the actual runway, using camera systems and digital communications infrastructure instead of a physical cab. The FAA has been conducting remote tower evaluations in the United States. None of that scales operationally with legacy analog voice switching in the loop. The staffing picture connects here as well. The FAA has been operating below target controller staffing levels at a significant number of facilities, and the training pipeline to address that shortage takes years to work through. Better integrated, more capable infrastructure is part of how the equation stays manageable. As the airspace evolves, technology that reduces workload on low complexity coordination creates space for human judgment on the decisions that actually require it. The Maryland plant and the equipment coming out of it is one node in a very large program. It will not solve every challenge in the national airspace system on its own, but the voice infrastructure is foundational. Everything else in the ATC environment communicates through it. And one of the longest-running criticisms of FAA modernization programs is the gap between announcement and execution. A manufacturing facility in Maryland producing equipment for field deployment is one of the more concrete signs that a program has crossed from planning into production. That reporting came from AVWeb. For more on the FAA's next-gen program and its components, the FAA.gov website maintains program documentation in the next-gen section. Find additional coverage at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Check your frequencies out there.